Okay, lady, now let's get information. I say, okay, lady, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious, less revenge is your paper.
It's your girl, the Thick Writer Chick. Thank you for joining in. I have two lovely guests with me today. I have Miss Davis and Miss D Ford. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves to the people?
Hey, hey.
Hey, was y'all. Hey, introduction.
I'm Miss Davis.
Okay.
Mom of two sons, two adult sons.
Dorian.
Y'all want me to say more? Resigned in Texas, and I'm originally from Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm a business owner, as you can see.
My name is Dorian. Super excited to be on the podcast tonight. I am Louisiana chick through and through, live in Shreveport, born and raised in Shreveport, and just ready to talk about these amazing topics.
Okay, good. So that's the panel for this evening, and thank you for joining us, or if you're watching on YouTube or just listening on Spotify, thank you for tuning in, because I feel like it's a topic that really needs to be discussed. So there have been, you know, a lot of comments being made on the internet, memes being passed around about modern mothers and how we're not, you know, as strong, etc., as our grandmothers. Here's one humdinger.
We're not them.
Y'all ain't strong enough to have 11 kids like your grandma. That's one that's getting passed around. Oh, here's another humdinger. Let me see here. My mama ain't never said she needed a break from us. These new moms is different. So, and I've actually seen that new moms one at least 3 or 4 times when it was really popular on my timeline. And I never commented, but I did always kind of just read the comments because I was perplexed. I think that there's, you know, with the wave of Kevin Samuels and with the whole gender wars thing, there just has been a lot of anti-modern women as it is. And it's like, I guess once women kind of stop caring about that, you know how when you poke a person, once they stop caring about what you're talking about, they then move on to lower, you know, to stuff that's below the belt and try to attack you that way to get your attention. And I really think that's all that is. It's like, what are you talking about? So anyway, we all three actually all happen to, and this is by coincidence, I didn't even think about this when I asked the ladies to be on the show, but we all each have 2 boys. Mine are 4 years apart. How far apart are yours, Miss Davis?
My oldest son is 25. The other one turns 21 in a couple days.
Okay, so is that 4 years? Forgive me if I didn't do the math. Because mine are 4 years apart, so. Mm-hmm. What about you, Dorian?
My boys are 5 years apart.
So, talk about coincidences. We really did not notice at all. Like, and let me tell you, that's actually the perfect gap for me, because it was hard enough with a 4-year-old with a newborn. I couldn't imagine no stair steppers. And shout out to the ladies that were able to do the stair stepper, because I would have got stepped on, baby.
Let me tell you, not for the week. My sister has a 9-month-old and a 2-year-old right now. And it's a job, literally.
A full-time job.
For real.
Let's kind of talk about it a little bit. I know these men made these memes to be funny and to nitpick at modern women, but let's really talk about it. Were our mothers really just way stronger than us, or perhaps was the conversation just different then? You know?
If I could chime in first, I think that I want to address the second humdinger that you posted. The one, I don't remember my mom asking, you know, for breaks, yada, 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 yada. First of all, your mama wouldn't have been asking you for a break because you can't give her a break.
Hello.
So it's very likely that mama most definitely asked for a break. You just wouldn't in the room because you had to stay in a child's place. So it is very likely that mama definitely asked for help. So that's the first part, right? Because that annoys me, right? You, of course you wouldn't hear your mama because you were a child, being in a child's place. Because that's what our mamas did back then. They let the kids stay in a child's place. So that's discredited from those lanes anyway. And the whole, you know, your grandma, or you couldn't handle 11 kids, all that other stuff. You goddamn right. You are doggone right. Guess what? Times have changed.
A lot.
Times have changed. You know, I literally know people who had kids just so their kid can have somebody to play with. You know, they kind of had to do stuff like that. Baby, they got internet. They got tablets. We ain't gotta have a whole nother person for you to have somebody to play with.
Oh, my Lord.
Times have changed. Not to mention the support that grandma and them had. You know, granddaddy might have had a whole nother family, but guess what? Both families were taken care of. So all I had to do was push the children out and cook the food, and that was good. But now I gotta push the children out, cook the food, clean up, go to work, change the tie, clean it. Oh no, you got me messed up, brother man. No.
Long story short, in case you missed that Gospel on the Mount, what I was gonna say is so many points that she just summed up really quickly. First of all, you didn't hear the conversations if it was being said. Our mom was very big on keeping children things in front of our eyes and adult things away. Now with my boys, if you want to call it modern, whatever, I'm a little more verbal. I do express to them, with also acknowledging that they are not the problem, but that this is hard. I do encourage them to hold off on parenthood as long as they possibly can until they are mature enough to handle it. I never hide my struggles from them. And I think part of the reason we thought it was so easy is because they were kind of taught to keep that out of your children's face. If you're struggling, if this and that and the third. Now, sometimes the struggles were so bad for some people, there was no hiding it. Like, if your lights are constantly off, okay, you saw that. But there were other struggles that mama was able to keep out of your face because you were a child. It didn't mean they didn't exist.
Completely agree. That's being a good mama.
Yeah, I feel like times are different. You know, we have social media, all different types of elements that our kids are growing up with that our parents didn't grow up with. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to be funny, but someone said to me that, okay, if I gotta be like grandma, why don't you be like granddaddy? Okay? Before you can tell me how I need to be raising 11 kids or whatever. Women are doing things different now. We working full time, we owning businesses, we doing all types of different things that they weren't doing back then. But also, you know, speaking from my experience, just being a mom, I usually hear, you're a strong woman, you're a strong mom. And We're going to get to that for sure.
I got
to
hear
it. Y'all going to get to that because I'm like, does strength look like to you? Because strong doesn't necessarily mean that I don't show my weakness or I don't show what is going on with me. I'm just trying to process it properly. We didn't learn how to process it properly. We trying to unlearn all this different stuff repairing ourselves and all that kind of stuff. So
this generation,
all this
of women,
talking about what our grandma used to do, you can keep that because our grandma ain't sitting in our shoes right now.
First of all, a lot of our grandmothers aren't even here anymore. Even if she did not tell you, her body shows you. Neither of my grandmothers lived to be 70. Mm. That's saying something. The retirement age is 65. And you mean to tell me black mothers are only living to right beyond retirement? They might have not said anything. But the lack of the grandma still being here, it definitely speaks volumes.
It says a lot. Yeah. I never met either of my grandmothers.
Oh.
So, you know, and women kind of just woke up. You know, no longer am I sacrificing my life, sacrificing my health, and sacrificing this, that, and the other for the expense of someone else. Now, if I want to have 11 kids, then I'll have 11 kids, right?
I don't.
But right. But no, but a lot, but, and even, I don't even think the women who had 11 kids then, I don't think that they wanted to have 11 kids. I just think that that was that situation with that man and that had to conform to whatever he wanted in order to have their bills paid, in order to have, you know, food to take care of the kids and whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's just, times have just changed, you know?
Like, not to interrupt, but I don't know if y'all remember the Jackson 5 movie? When Katie tried to get on birth control and Joe told her no.
Yeah.
Joe told her they couldn't. It was against their religion. They were Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yep.
Either they couldn't afford it or were told they couldn't get it. Like, you had, like, even today, birth control is covered under insurance. If you don't have insurance, how are you getting birth control?
Mm-hmm. We didn't have rights. I mean, women didn't have rights like that, like they do now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
facts. Women could not open their own bank accounts until 1967. My mom was born in 1960. So what are you talking about? Like,
yep.
Okay, since you dabbled on strength, let's go ahead and get to it. One of the biggest backhanded compliments that the world has given Black women is that we are strong. And I wrote down that we are the only group of women who accepted rebranded overworking as a compliment. And we ran with it. For generations, we ran with it.
I don't know if we ran with it. I think that we... I think the world ran with it. We really had no choice. Just the same way of this strength that we have to accept. It's the exact same way. We are strong by default.
Okay.
Because we don't want to be out here saving the world. If I could sit up with my pretty nails and my pretty toes and just do pretty things all day, that's what I would do. But that ain't what life is, right? So I think that, you know, I don't think that we embodied it was like, oh, I'm strong and I want to be strong. No, we had to tap into that strength in order to go the next day, because if we didn't tap into that strength, us and everything attached to us would just completely
fall down. Fall. Okay.
So I don't think it ever was a matter of us, I don't know many Black women. I don't know many or any Black women who were on some, I don't need no man. We can still, and if they're saying they don't need a man, it's really because, you know I can survive without one.
Or I've had to survive without one.
I'm not going to die tomorrow if I don't have a man, but would I like companionship? Would I like a partner? Yes, indeed. So, you know, they think that strength is a good thing. See, white women, they were the ones who were excited to get their independence. They are the ones that, you know, ooh, I'm strong. I can do this. They kind of took it that way. For the sisters, we have no other choice. We've been having to do this since slavery.
Yeah. Yeah. And then somewhere along the line, it became almost like a compliment. Like, even in these women's obituaries, even when they finally are given some kind of celebration, somebody's going to speak on their strength. You know, Big Mama held the family together. Big Mama was strong. So, but I think it was looked at as a compliment because what is the opposite of strength is weakness. And you don't want to be viewed as weak. So if strength is what you're going to give me, I guess that's better than...
Nothing, I would like to know what is everybody's definition of strength. You know what I'm saying? When you telling me I'm strong, what that means. So I don't show my feelings. I don't tell you I'm hurting. I don't tell you that I'm not feeling good today, or I'm mentally, you know, weak and I need somebody to lift me up. Is that strength? Because I really want to know what that means. Because to me, strength truly means going through whatever you need to go through and processing it properly to get to the other side of it. Not hiding it, not acting like it's not there, all that kind of stuff like that. Because we have a lot of that in our generation now.
And we're unlearned, like Dorian said, we're unlearning a lot. I think strength is viewed as you soldier on. You know, if you're breaking down on the side of the road and you're crying, you're viewed as weak. If you're soldiering on, no matter what, that's strength. Big Mama has strength. You know, she wasn't like these modern women that need a sitter and that need a spa day and that, you know, they're crying and they're whining on the internet. She just did hers in private and there was no internet.
Right. And that's the whole thing about it. It's all about perception. You know, despite how we, you know, we want to play, it's all about perception. Because if we were to have a conversation with Big Mama probably wouldn't say that any of the stuff that she did was strength. You know, she probably would even say that it was in her weakness that she allowed herself to even be in that position to have to endure
those. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Facts.
Because, see, to me, that's one of the first pieces of strength. The first pieces of strength for me is acknowledgement.
Vulnerability.
Until you can acknowledge it, it don't even exist for real. So that's the, you know, to me, that's the biggest part of strength. Acknowledge it, so then you can fix it. So, you know, like Ms. Davis was saying, you know, strength, it just depends on who the person is, what their perception of strength is, because it's different for everybody else. I look at a woman who could stay in an abusive relationship and be like, man, sister girl is strong, because I'd have killed them. That's me. You know, I look at that as strength for whatever, you know, whatever reason. The next person might look at
her. I would view it as weakness. You're right. So you know, on the opposite end, I would think weakness, because girl, pick yourself up.
You that desperate to have him. You can't have nobody.
85,000 men in the sea. But no, I mean, that's an iffy subject.
See, I look at it like, if you telling me I'm strong, what you treat me like, you know. People don't, when you strong, people look past you. They think
that's
you can do anything.
That's
they think
it.
They think you cannot break. And what I'm saying is, period, they act like you don't have feelings. They talk to you any kind of way and all that kind of stuff like that. Strength does not mean that I can just take anything. You know what I'm saying? Strength means I can take it, I can process it, I can get through it. It's a healthy way to be strong. This label of strength,
hold on, Mimi. Okay, your sound had went out a little bit, but
for me,
yeah, that's why when you asked earlier, what's the definition of strength? To the people that want you oppressed, that is the definition of strength. How can I keep you under if I don't convince you that anything else is negative?
Yeah, they still have to learn. They still have to act like, you know, they ain't get beat. You said get up and work. Yes, master.
Right.
You still had to do it.
How can I keep you under if I don't, in some kind of way, make you feel good about this oppression? So, hey, woman, you're strong. You get up, you come to work every day, you take care of our kids, take care of your kids, go fix food for that husband of yours. You are a strong woman. Okay, well, and like you said, if you've noticed with different cultures, and it's no shade to anybody, some women are allowed to be damsels in distresses. Black women never really got that courtesy. So even if you're, like you said, when people perceive you as strong, you get overlooked. Oh, you're sick? Better figure it out. Oh, somebody died? Okay, you got your 2-3 days, but we're going to need you back at work.
Girl, don't let me leave this room. I need, because you ain't lying.
Yeah.
Because you can take it. Like, and then the minute that you speak up for yourself in any kind of form or fashion, because you are perceived as strong, it's immediately interpreted as aggressive. But when... Go ahead, Doreen.
So in considering and in thinking and just compartmentalizing all of those things, how do we get to the conversation of where we are today, to where, you know, when a woman says, oh, I need a break, she's literally saying, hey, I'm strong. I've been holding it down together, and I just need help. I just need a breather. How do we get from, oh, it's bad when you're strong, to where it's bad just taking on all of these things and not verbalizing what you need, to now you're being criticized if you say, dang, I need a day. It's like, damn if you don't.
You're right. And like we were saying earlier before the camera started rolling, words like mental health, words like overstimulation, depression, postpartum depression, those are very new conversations. So when you say that your grandma didn't ask for stuff, the word stimulation and mental health was not a part of your grandmother's vocabulary. And we weren't talking about therapy and none of that in the 60s and 70s. We was just 100 plus shy of slavery.
What if
that, mental health? Yeah, like, what is mental health? Like, we just started talking about that. And seriously, I remember the first time I went to a therapist, and this was 2019, and this is Shreveport, mind you. And I would kind of talk about it at work a little bit, and there still were people that kind of, when you say therapy, that was only like 7 years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago. Now it's not so taboo. But when we first had children, who did you know in therapy other than couples? There was marriage counseling, but what regular person just went to therapy? Nobody. So you couldn't complain to the world about how hard motherhood is, or you'd be called weak, or you'd be called bitter. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't talk to a therapist because A, nobody was talking to therapists, or B, you couldn't afford to talk to a therapist.
Right.
So what did you have to do but soldier on?
That's all you could do with soldier on. But I appreciate where Black women are today. I appreciate that we're as educated as we are, because you ain't going to play on our topic. You ain't going to play on our emotions like y'all used to. I love the fact that we're coming to a place and we're understanding that I can be nothing for you until I'm everything for me. And people feel like that's selfish, but no, that's actually me looking out for the village in the best way. I can't pour from an empty
Amen.
Cup.
Amen.
And I looked at my mom and I looked at my sister and just being completely transparent, when I became a mom, there was a lot of my mom and I, we had to grow from being mother-daughter to being mother-mother. And what I mean by that is my mama was very, very, my mama old school, and I thank God I have an old school mom, but she was very judgmental when it came to my parenting. Mm-hmm. And what I love about my mother and what I love about what she taught me growing up was she always taught me to never stem away from those tough conversations. Don't matter if you like it or not, you got to have those tough conversations. And I had to have a conversation with her and I had to let her know, because I parent differently from you does not mean that I'm a less parent than you. Mm-hmm. I parent different than you. You know, my mom was the parent who chose to, she sacrificed her life for her three girls. She didn't go back to school and get her degree until everybody was out of high school. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody was she didn't do that. My mom, she didn't date. She didn't do any of that. Her life was devoted to us. She didn't do nothing but her children, work, and church. That's good for you, baby girl. That's not the life for me.
Amen.
You know, and because she sacrificed and did what she did, she felt like all mamas should do that. Ooh. Well, no, it's not a universal rule, but we were able to grow through that. And she understood that, you know, Dorian as a person decides to do this. And it's so crazy because like my mom didn't go to concerts or do any of that. So as I became an adult and was able, and now I can take her to concerts and we're going to events and doing all this other stuff. It's like she's living this second life because she didn't do any of that stuff because she was focused on being a mama, yeah. But she also had nobody but her, you know? So I have me, I have my son's fathers, I have my sister, I have a village. My mama was the village. So we were able to understand why there was some difference and work through it. But you know, times have just changed. Times have changed indeed.
And I'd like to say also that you develop a lot of grace for your parents when you become a parent.
Oh, yeah.
There is no manual. There definitely wasn't one in the 80s and late 70s and 80s. So,
well, no Google.
What it, even now, the only book I had guiding me into parenthood was What to Expect When Expecting. That was it. Like, and that and was 15 years ago. Like, there is no manual. So it gives you a lot of grace when you become a mother for your mother, because this ain't no easy job. And like we said, a lot of the tools that were there aren't there. So there, but I want to chime in on what you said. And I think it's unintentionally that a lot of the older Black folks kind of want this current generation, I guess we're Gen X, not necessarily to go through the struggles they went through. But if you don't do it the way I did it, there's something wrong with it.
Right. That's a Black people stigma that we need to unlearn. And that was one of the things that I was so excited. And I said that I was going to do a podcast to kind of talk about that and let mothers know that it's okay for your daughter to be right. You know, look, like.
Women only, Kevin, dang. Do you identify as a woman? No? Okay, next podcast.
He's like, yeah, I need to get up in here.
Yeah.
Girl. It's so true because even with my sons right now, we're kind of in a tight little spot because JJ started high school and I would be dang on if he got all these gifts and talents and I couldn't get him into a school where he could flourish. So he's in a private school. And my gifts weren't really tended to. You know, I could write, I could sew, I could paint, I could do all these things. But it was what it was. I think our parents were more so about, if you had a son, don't let him go to jail, get him out of high school. And if you had a daughter, don't let her get pregnant. And if she do, get her out of high school. And after that, okay. But like, I'm planning ahead right now. I want every opportunity.
Oh my God.
These boys. Everything. If it's in my power to do it, I want you to be better than me.
Yes.
Can I answer Mr. Kevin's question down here?
So
he
said men
don't have a voice now.
Not you, look, all lives mattering our podcast.
Look, I'ma just say this. When men start having babies, then he can have a voice about it.
Because men are who wrote them little memes we showed earlier. Y'all didn't say what y'all got to say.
I'm serious, Pooh. We have a time for you, sir. We got a question and answer session at the end, but we talking right now. Come on, lady.
Right. So it's like, it's hard trying to make sure that they jump off the porch with tools that I'm still getting as a 30-year-old. I'm just getting credit together at 30.
Yes.
And I got to make sure
I do believe the generational issue is like a double-edged sword. I was having a conversation with someone else about this before. The older generation want the younger generation to do what they did, but also the younger generation want to get rid of everything that the older generation has brought to the table. I feel like we still need some of the traditional things to pour into ourselves and our kids because it works. But things have changed, so we got to change how we do it. It's like like having a cell phone. You know, phones have changed. First, you got the landline. Now we on cell phones, and the cell phones was this big at one point, looked like a walkie-talkie. It's changed so much, but it's still a phone. We still use it for the same thing, but it's so many different things. So I look at that as life. We have to change
with the time,
what we have, but also we can still use some of the roots. What's up?
I really, really like that. I used to be, my thing was I ain't deal with older women. I ain't deal with older women because they was nasty, they was mean, they was catty, and they weren't trying to show no wisdom. It was just always But I ended up running into this group of ladies who's probably about 15, 17 years older than me, and they just really embraced me. And this woman, she told me, she was like, Mama Angela, she was like, you know, Dorian, I love everything that you're doing. It's like, can y'all hear me now?
No, can't hear you.
I don't know what's happening. Can you hear me?
Okay, gotcha. I hear you.
Okay, I don't know what happened. But she was just basically saying that what it is expansion. You know, the older generation got to understand that it's not removal, it's expansion. Yes. So we're not trying to take what you're doing. We're not trying to remove what you're doing. We only want to expand it. But how can you expand it? You got to know where it started. You got to know how it worked. You got to know what it was in order to be able to progress or do anything differently. So that's kind of what we started doing with this older lady, younger lady generation or formation that we're trying to create. It's just look at it as expansion. How can I take what you did and what you've already done, and how can I put my flair on it and make it better? And I'm really thankful for them, because I real deal did not deal with older ladies, because it was toxic. It was so very toxic, because they could be very, very mean and very, very belittling, and then make you feel guilty for disrespecting them when you grown too. Yeah. So it was like narcissistic times 12. And it's like, hold on, mama. Let me just go on around, because I don't want to cut my blessings short, because I'm about to give you a piece of my mind. But, you know, my pastor also helped me realize that, you know, some people only identify with whatever that status is. So if you're a younger Black woman going into a job and it's older Black women there, well, that older Black woman, all she got is that job. All she had for the last 20 years with that job. And that's all she...
That's a 5-year-old right here.
Hey,
that's my son, my oldest son right here.
And look, my oldest son just came in here to get his food.
Mine know not to come. I told him I'm doing a podcast, I'm coming here. But you know what, Dorian? I really want to chime on that, because what you're saying is absolutely true. The disconnect between the generations, that if that gap was closed, would be so much beneficial, you know, towards the community.
Yes.
The older ladies are still hurting.
Yeah,
they never got the reason that they're kind of upset and they might not say because the younger ladies are getting the freedom they denied.
Yep.
And I want to chime in and say the language wasn't there. And could your grandmother even safely say this is hard for me?
She couldn't express her feelings the way she wasn't taught how to.
Hold on, Mimi, you might.
And guess what? It ain't these men. I was intending to say this earlier. But it's not the men who made these memes talking about these modern day mothers. It ain't the men. It's these older ladies who are upset at the fact that we're asking for the stuff that they couldn't ask
for. That they could not ask for.
So I know that we be wanting to go in on the men, but I don't think this was the brothers.
But who do you think raised these men? These older ladies that gave up their lives to practically be a wife to these grown men. Like, it's a cycle that needed to stop anyway. So glad you brought it up, sir, you know, with your little meme while you was trying to be funny. But let's talk about it. Have you ever asked your mom? Have you ever had a real conversation with your mama? Did you really like being a mom? Were there ever times that it was hard for you and you didn't get no help? Most of us have never even talked to our mama on that real of a level. I know I haven't.
And if you're a parent, and even if you had that conversation with your mom, and your mom told you no, as a parent, you should know your mama lying, and she's just trying to spare you as a child.
Big facts.
Because that's just grown up problem. I mean, if you are an adult and you doing everything right, life is gonna life your ass. If you're doing everything right, life is going to throw you. So it's hard. I don't care how perfect everything is.
Right.
Every day is not gonna be good. So for anyone to assume that their parent or any parent doesn't have any bad days, that's just ignorant. And that's just
Oh, my mom never asked for no break. You knew moms or something else. Yeah, we're more vocal. We have the language is there now. We can say I'm overstimulated. We can say I have postpartum depression. Your grandmother could not. Your grandmother couldn't even open her own bank account. So there's that. But
I don't necessarily think men shouldn't have an opinion. But I do sometimes feel like certain things a man wouldn't understand when it comes to being a mother. You know, our bodies go through different things when we naturally anyway. And then when we have kids, our body have to adjust. Sometimes it's not about the physical part. Sometimes it's mental.
That's
what I'm saying? And if you don't heal from those moments, you carry that through life. You know what I'm saying? Because I have two sons, but I've been through some things when it came to being a parent to them, birthing them. You know what I'm saying? When you having a baby, it's a scary thing. You know what I'm saying?
It's life or death.
It's the closest a woman ever comes to death. When I was going to the hospital having my oldest son, this old woman was like, "Ooh, baby, death gonna pass you over 17 times." What?
Thanks for the encouragement, Meemaw.
Right.
Let me tell you, my mama was in the room with me when I was having him, and they had to do a C-section. My mama told me she ain't never doing it again because they cut me open and the epidural wore off. Right in the middle. I could feel everything.
Oh, heck no. Put that baby back
in. I could not talk. I just looked over her, tears running down my eyes, and my mom was like, "What's wrong?" I said, I can feel it. I can feel it. So they just had to put me to sleep. She's like, "Oh, man, no, ma'am. I'm not doing that no more. Y'all gonna take me out."
That's real. And if you look at the numbers, Black women die more in childbirth than any other race of women. And most of us are Medicaid recipients. And this is from someone who had Medicaid with both children. The treatment is different. The treatment is very different. There's no one there to advocate for you. And if you speak up, because with my second one, I was getting my epidural. I have Harrington rods in my back. And the man took nearly an hour giving me an epidural. And it was the most painful thing. I had to be wheeled around after I gave birth because he was messing it up so bad. And when I would say anything, he would throw it. Like, my sister Carmen was there holding me in the front, and so was another nurse. And I'm a big lady, and of course, I'm presumed to be strong. But I am in pain. And I'm like, can we call somebody to help? He threw the instruments down and said, "Well, if you want to get somebody else to do it." Now, mind you, I'm 10 centimeters dilated and you trying to give me an epidural. It's all kinds of pain. But because of his ego and frustration, he throws the instruments down. And it's like, if you want to get somebody else to do it, by all means, be my guest. I was treated while giving birth.
But let me tell you a major reason why they handle us like that. And I am not that person at all. I'm not a blamer at all. But a lot of, when it comes to the medical profession and a lot of other different professions, they play with Black women because there's no male presence. they play with us because there is no male presence. It amazes me how when I was pregnant with my son, you know, his dad wasn't able to go to a doctor's appointment, but my best friend is a guy. So yeah. My best friend, my brother, would go to an appointment with me. And it's crazy how I would see the difference in how I was treated with a male presence opposed to when it was just me, myself, or if it was with me and my sister or my mom or something like that. So any man that's listening, and I'm always, and that's one of the reasons why I feel invincible. I don't feel invincible, but that's why I feel like I can do whatever I want to do or whatever I can do. I feel like whatever I put my mind to do, I can do because I have the support behind me.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just my mom and them. I got a whole clique of black men, real strong black men, that's going to step behind me. You got to get through by some people before you get to me because I have that village. So right. I couldn't imagine not having that at all. So I think that's the real barrier when it comes to like, oh, black men wrong, black women wrong. Black women ain't protected. And a lot of races, they don't respect us, black women, because they know that, oh, it's going to be just another black bitch come behind. I'm just slap her. What can a woman do to me? But they fear and respect black men. So black men, y'all gotta show up more. Even if it ain't your lady, like I said, if I got anything going, I'm calling my brother, I'm calling my homeboy. They're gonna pull right up. I'm gonna have a male presence because they respect that so much. So just pulling up and being there, they ain't gotta say nothing, but watch it be a total different course.
You know, you're absolutely right. My baby daddy actually did not get there until right before delivery, so he missed that entire ordeal. And when I told him about it, he was like, they better be glad I wasn't up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he wasn't lying because he played about a lot of things, but he really isn't that. He wouldn't have stood by idly. There's not much me and my sister could do. Like, my sister's voice is like this. Kermit's a little mouse. And I'm pooched over about to die. So you're right. We really were just sitting ducks. What could we do? And the minute I said anything, I didn't even cuss the man out. I was like, I was crying. I was like, is there any chance we can get somebody else to help us? And as soon as I said something, he just threw the stuff down. This is the head anesthesiologist.
Yes. So, it's because how dare you? How dare you, little black girl, tell me anything?
I'll medicate.
And I'm the head of such and such. It's in the third.
I don't know how to react to that. I'm sorry.
Girl, and let's not even talk about Dr. Alexander. He delivered my first baby. We ain't forgot. I know you and your sister loved him, but I had a horrible experience. And many other women did too. So he was the one that, okay, after him, I'm not having any other males deliver my kids. But everybody at Willis Knighton, I mean, Krista Schumpert, was women except that head anesthesiologist. So for me, if I ever do birth again, I need black female as much as possible from the rooter to the tutor. So the doctor I have now with my insurance through my job, of course, that entire staff is black women. But with Medicaid, you have to get what you can.
Yep. Which is one of the reasons why they want to keep us, why they keep that, because nobody put a gun to our heads and make us do anything, right? Right. But that's one of the reasons why it's beneficial for us to keep that crutch under our arm. We don't understand that it ain't nothing free, baby. We think that food stamps free. We think that Medicaid free. We think that we're just getting over. No, you get treated like what you are. You get the poorest medical assistance when the government is paying for your medical. You don't really have a lot of say. And I know that shouldn't be. I know it's horrible. That's not the way that it should be, but that's what it is.
Unfortunately,
it's crazy because I literally just went to the dentist the other day. Got Blue Cross Blue Shield. Oh, they roll out the mat. Oh, would you like an electric toothbrush? Would you like some sparkling water? Would you like this? Would you like that? You know, but it just made me go back in my mind when I had to go to the dentist's office for a week. And the reason, on Medicaid, and the reason why I had to go back to this dentist is because the Medicaid dentist broke my doggone tooth off. So it's just like, it's crazy how we're so blinded at the assistance that we don't realize the long-term damage that we're really doing on ourselves as well as our families and the kids and stuff like that. So all back to what we were talking about, I love the fact that women are saying, I need a break. I had these kids 355 days this year. I need 5 days and then I get them for the
other. To attest to what you're saying, a lot of people don't like, I think they're Gen X. I don't know what the new ones are. Gen X some, but I actually love these women. I love them. I love the new generation. They're coming out of high school with businesses. They not coming out of high school looking for no husband. They got businesses. They got LLCs. They know about credit. They holding off on kids. They don't want to have kids until they're in their late 20s and 30s. Like, they're being very vocal about being selfish and it being okay. And even if the language wasn't there, they're creating the language. This is the modern women that these people don't like, because how dare you come from up under this oppression and try to be about yourself?
Right.
You're supposed to be about me. You're supposed to be about having children. You're supposed to be about this. And I love these women. And there's so many options that weren't there before and things I have had to unlearn, because I thought you just, it was what it was. And not that I coast, you know, everybody do what you need to do. But when I speak to younger ladies, because I don't want to be that auntie that doesn't chime into the younger generation. So when I talk to them, I keep it real. Hold off on kids as long as you can. Build your life you love and that you actually enjoy. If you don't enjoy your life, there's no point in bringing someone else into this world. Build a life you love. And then once you look around and you love your life, then you can worry about somebody to share it with. And until then, don't be thinking about no Negro. Get your credit up. See the world. Live your life. You only your 20s once. No one was there telling us that. Not really.
We were in such survival mode, you know. So our people were in such survival mode. We could think about going on vacation because we didn't know how we was going to pay the light bill, you know what I'm saying, that month. So I'm just, like you said, I'm excited. That's the message that I am... Every young woman that I come in contact with, you know, because literally I blinked my eyes and I was 40. Yesterday I was just 20. Yes. I blinked my eyes and rubbed it and 20 years passed. I don't know what happened. I don't know where time went, but you can't get it back.
You cannot.
You cannot get it back. So it's very, very important for us to love self first. Love is an inward, outward type action. People think that it's just that. But I used to be that person. I used to love everybody else until I was forced to put the mirror in front of my face to see, well, why did I want everybody else to be happy? And I ain't even doing what I need to do to make myself happy.
Hello.
I was literally making other people's dreams come true because I felt like my time had passed. But if I would just do the same work with me that I was helping other people do, then, hell, now we all own. We all eating. You know?
Facts.
So,
facts. That's and I what, love that. That new language, that wasn't, like, if I think about it, I mean, our grandma, because Miss Davis is my cousin, she did ceramic art and stuff like that. But outside of that, I don't know what any of my elders did. What were y'all good at? What were your dreams and goals? We have no idea, because their life surrounded being Big Mama for us. So it's hard being a multi-talented girly. When I first got pregnant, I remember I had a friend that said, don't you stop with your gifts because you finna have this baby. And thank goodness I had her, because the rest of the world was saying something completely different. You need to get a real job. You need to get serious. That boy ain't here. He didn't say he ain't finna help. You better figure it out. So you can lose yourself in motherhood. And once upon a time, that was okay. In fact, it was expected.
You know, I don't know why God put that on the inside of me, but damn it, I was determined. I was determined not to lose Dorian in being a mother, not to lose Dorian in being... Even in relationship with guys, like, I've tried to just be head out, sold out, whatever. I've always reserved a piece of me. And it made me feel selfish for a while. But as I went through my self-healing journey, that's the only thing that's preserved me.
Yeah.
The only thing that's preserved me is me, the love, the protection, the respect. The whatever that I've had for me, that's the reason why I'm able to persevere, because I've always taken that time for Dorian. When I feel it, I know when I need to adjust, I know with who, but because I've always protected me, you know, even in the bad times, is why I'm always able to persevere. So, you know, I guess I understand why, because it's hard to do the self work. It's easier for people to just focus on everybody else instead of doing the self work.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that the newer generation, the newer moms,
the dialogue,
but I do want to say this, but as we're praising this new generation for coming into self love and for saying I need a break and all that other stuff, we got to make sure that it's warranted. You can't, your grandma can't raise your child 6 days out of a week, and then you get your child on that 7 day, and 2 hours until you get your child, you say you want a break. So I gotta go, we gotta really back in here, because you know, some of these, at the same token, some of these new mamas ain't mamas.
But so, honestly, that was in the 80s and 90s too. How many of us were raised by aunts?
You're right about that now.
Let's be real. This conversation ain't for them women. We talking about the women that stepped. Them, we not even finna acknowledge this.
We just got to, I mean, we got to make it be known.
Oh, okay. Because, well, for y'all that were misunderstanding, yeah, for y'all
there
that
come out there.
They exist, but we not, no shade, because you're already getting the break, sis. We're not talking to you.
Right.
You are not talking to you. You are the break.
You are the break.
And you know what? Even those moms, I can't fault you, because it's big to admit as a woman that, hey, I cannot give this child the best I possibly, I don't have much to give them. Here, grandma, right. You raise them. Even that takes a certain amount of, I hate to use the word, but strength. Because yeah. Some of us that kept kids and went through all these struggles, and I may be guilty of it too, I just always felt like it's my responsibility. This is my bed. It was never said to me, but it was understood. I made this bed, lie in it.
Right.
So whatever it looks like, I'm going to have my the rest point, of us. Blank, point blank, period, you know.
16 years old. Okay, I was 16 years old. And I had to go ahead and just get with it.
And get grown real quick.
Go to school, finish school, and be a mom. Mm-hmm.
But let them tell it, because we asking for it. Like, I guess after a while, because I am a single mama. I'm not like a single, no, single. And it's been this for 15 years. And after that long of having kids all the time, you just get used to it. I mean, at first, when I really, really needed a break, I wasn't getting a break. So after a while, you just kind of get used to not getting it. And it becomes part of your life. And like, even when they, now people want to get them because they big. But
that's how it usually goes.
When I had a screaming newborn, and I had, you know, calluses across my hand from carrying the little car seat and a four-year-old trying to learn his colors. Nobody wanted to really just get them like that then. Mm-mm. You know? And that was 11 years ago. But now, are people, you know, and they call them out. They call out the grandmas. They call out. They will get on the internet and call you out. We didn't.
You know something else? Something else just hit my mind. The only reason why this is an issue is because of the fact that Black women are doing it, because I lived in New Orleans some years ago, and I worked at a Presbyterian day school. I lived in Baton Rouge, and I worked at the Presbyterian day school on LSU's campus, and I was blown away at the amount. We had a thing called Mother's Day Out. Mother's Day Out was specifically a time for stay-at-home moms to come drop their kids off for them to get a break.
Isn't that something?
For them to get a break, and it's only an issue because Black women are saying, because that's what a lot of other cultures they do, and that's one of the things I love about my mom. My mom, being a single mom, she understood that she ain't have no help, so she always made sure. So like, my mom will always give me 1 weekend a month. She would get my boys 1 weekend a month. Let me have my time. And I totally appreciate her for that. Even to this day, although they grown, my baby boy 13, she'd be like, you need your weekend? Like, no, ma, I ain't got nothing planned. We good. You know, but just to know, to be able to have that breather. But that's what other people, other cultures, that's what they do. They go to Meemaw and Papaw's house, and Mama is wine drunk.
Or they have nannies.
Or they have, let's talk about the nannies that was at the
let's day. Talk about it.
Listen, I was a nanny in Baton Rouge for like 3 months, and I made about 18 grand in 3 months from being a nanny. From driving little spoiled entitled white kids around to the park, only working about 4 hours a day because their moms needed time.
And they allowed the time.
Pay good money for the time. Good money for the time. So
that's good money. Again,
this is an issue because it's Black women saying I need a break. I completely agree. But the others have been doing it for quite some time. And you know, listen, tell your people you need a break. that's one of the things that I give my friends that are mothers around me. I don't do it with little kids. I ain't gonna lie. If your child is under 8, they can't come to see Dorian's house.
Oh, wow.
I ain't gonna do nothing to make them fun, and I'm gonna go in my room. But they ain't bothering you though. But to just know that you have that break, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's just a breather, and we need that. So stop talking about a woman because she say she need a break, because what's gonna happen is if she don't get that break and she slapped that kid, now that's a whole nother can of worms. But the woman has been begging for help. She's been begging for help, and you want to get on social media and talk about women who are asking for help, but then when she smacked the child or drowned the child in the tub, now you're dragging them.
Or kill herself.
Damn if you don't, black woman. So love you, black woman, because you gonna be damn if you do and damn if you don't. If you ask for help, they gonna tear you apart. If you don't ask for help, they gonna tear you apart. So love you, black woman. Love you.
And let me chime in right quick, because I love that, but okay, the safe space for it. Like you said, the other cultures have been doing this for quite a while because the safe space is there. We gotta, as a community, this isn't just the women, we gotta make it safe. Well, some of them are, like I said, the newer generation, they not giving a fuck, and that's why I love them. I said what I said, come get these kids. But let's normalize that. Let's make it normal. Don't get on here and make a stupid meme, because honestly, you could have just gave your mama a shout out for being a great mom and kept it moving.
That's
why
it.
Even bring modern mothers into this? Because when I see it shared 1.7K times, that's when that type of stuff becomes a problem, because we're trying to change the narrative and you're working against us with stuff like that, trying to be cute on the internet.
Because you don't realize that, you know, think about it. Mom can't go use the bathroom without the kids knocking at the door. Mama, 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 you can't go take a bath. You can't eat. You can't even think without.
you have to turn down jobs. You have to. If you can't feel parenthood, I often say, if you cannot feel it in your day to day life, and then the decisions you make, you don't have to consider your children. You're either not doing it hard. You know?
Haircuts, meeting, sport. I was teen mom. I had to do everything.
You're either not doing it hard enough or you a part-time parent, because there's no way you are a full-time parent and you don't have to consider your children's schedules when you pick a job, pick where you live. Even right now, because Jamil is in private school in Fort Worth, we cannot move from here until he's done with school. Now, the other parent doesn't have to consider that. He can do what he want to do. So until you, every decision you make got to revert back to your children. Just stay out the conversation.
Do you want to touch on that?
That's a different day.
That's going to be a whole nother discussion. I'm going to just say, I have never experienced any men in my life that had to get up and do all this stuff for their kids in my life. I know they exist. So big ups to them.
Big ups to you, Dad.
I've never experienced
it. Me
neither. It's real. Like, get the kids weekend, Dad. I ain't never even had that, to be honest. Like, even I lived in Shreveport. They, again, 24/7. I just got used to it. So break, I mean, okay. But, you know, they my kids, so it is what it is. I like them. We have fun around each other. Hush, Kevin. Lord.
Yeah, it ain't to bash. You know, it ain't to bash nobody. It's just speaking our reality, right? You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Again, and it all goes back to say. So if a woman is asking for a break, if she is asking for some help, especially if you a baby daddy who ain't helping, brother man, just either stay quiet or do some help. That's all I want us to do. Stay quiet or offer help.
I don't agree.
Don't post. Don't do nothing else. Just shut up or offer some help. Because then if you do anything else, you're part, now you are part of the problem.
Part of the problem. Agree. And women that are, because I saw some women, you know, depict, they got to let it be known, well, I'm not, I have my, you know, girl, you're not helping. Here's the thing. If you're blessed with a village, if you're blessed with a man, because they're, because remember, single mothers who are married is a real thing too. I didn't always believe that, but that's, we'll tap on that.
And let me tell you, if I got to be blessed. I can't be with nobody and be alone because I'm gonna be alone. That's just
we're gonna talk about it in a minute. But if you are blessed with a village, with a whatever, where you don't have, but you can't relate, that's okay. But be quiet while the women who don't have what you have are speaking. Right. Don't counteract them with, well, I got, that's fantastic. Okay, I actually wish that on every woman.
I'm coming from,
exactly. So this conversation is not for you. Let's stop centering ourselves at places where it has nothing to do with this.
And you know what? I had to learn that. I had to learn that because, you know, I'm an experienced person, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, if I've done it, then, you know, I can speak to it. So I had to learn that some stuff, if I haven't done it, you can't, because you would think in your mind, like, oh, it ain't that bad. But then you have to ask yourself, well, have I experienced that? Right. If I experienced it, how the hell am I going to say it ain't that bad? So, yeah, I definitely had to learn that. And because, and I learned that actually from a whole baby mama, baby daddy situation. Yeah. My mom had her first child at 16. My sister had her first child at 16. My best friend had her first child at 16. So once I made it to 18 and I didn't have a kid, I was better than them, right? Mm. So once I made it to 18 and didn't have a kid, I was better than them. And then when I made it to 20, oh, I'm out of my teens and I didn't have a kid, I was only better. But not only was I better, that'll never happen to me. Mm. I'm better and that'll never happen to me. And what you think happened when I turned 21? The exact same thing.
Like Brandy say, never say never.
Never say never. And so, you know, I judged. I looked and say, oh, because that happened to me. That don't mean it's going to happen to you. It don't mean it's going to happen to me. But until you get into that situation, experience is, it humbles us a lot of the time. So,
it does. Like you and said, you think it would never be you. Like, my parents were married. My last name Evans. My daddy last name Evans. So this was an eye opener for me when I became a single mother, because this was like some shit off television. You mean in real life, people have kids and just don't do what? How did I get here? My parents are married. Like, I go to church. I'm a good woman. How did this happen to me? You know, it's a real wake up call that no matter what you come from or what you feel, how holy you think you are, any of that, baby, it can be you.
Yeah,
I was on the praise dance team and everything. How did that
come
happen?
On, right?
And his daddy was a preacher.
Yeah,
still got a church in Shreveport right now. And I was like, this type of dude.
Yeah,
the Lord. What has happened here? Like, this is not on the plan at all. So it does humble you a lot. And so when people come to me like with issues and they want to talk about it, especially if it's like something I've never experienced, I'll say, now look here, this is only my opinion on what I might do if I were in your position, but I really do not know. Like, when my married friends want to talk about, look, I've never been married, so this is only what I think. Because at the end of the day, you got to live with the choices. But, yeah, girl, that what Mimi mentioned, that's a whole nother topic for another day. We're just going to stick to
I don't want no part of that conversation.
And they don't want no parts either. You ain't finna get hate mail sent to me. Them comments gonna be on fire. But we see, mentioned like we're talking about baby daddies.
You can't talk about what you experienced. So if you not that baby daddy that we talking about, you know what I'm saying? Because I had to raise both of my sons by myself. You know what I'm saying? So
it exists, and I think sometimes men can get collectively offended. They just heard men, they just heard baby daddies, and they get triggered.
Yeah.
But you know who you are. Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna, no names. If you know you're a good dad, you know we're not talking about you. But those not so great dads do exist, and they are part of the problem.
But women, we also could try a little bit better in choosing our words. I'm trying to put in my mind the importance of words and how words are important. So instead of saying all baby daddies ain't shit, we should say many or most,
right?
Okay. Or some, because we don't want, and I had to think about that when we talk about black women and saying all black women angry, all black women. Now, nigga, that you might run across a few, and I might have, you know, it might be a bad day, but all of us are not bad. Many of us may have attitudes. Yes. Some of us may not have attitudes. But words are, right, are important. So, you know, but it all boils down to exactly what you're saying. If it don't, the shoe don't fit, then don't, you know. But words are very, very important. We need to get in the habit of saying, some of you niggas ain't shit.
So with that being said, now that we are the aunties and the TTs, what can we give as advice to these younger women and to the ones that already have crossed over into motherhood and they're in their early 20s? What can we say to them to keep the growth happening and continuing instead of that disconnect, like you said earlier, that we kind of had with older women?
I my phone might die in just a second, so I'm gonna hop on her real quick. I just charged it up, but you know, put it on a charger. But I would say to the younger generation of mothers, stay true to you. Stay true to you, because like I said earlier, you can't truly love your kids or anyone else if you don't love you properly. And loving you properly will definitely make you a better mother. Because it is so hard. It's unfair for a child to have to live in a house with a depressed parent. Because what happens is we end up, even if we take care of our kids in the best way and we don't abuse them or anything of that sort, that energy, that depressed energy, that sad energy, that goes off on kids, right? And people can feel it. They can definitely feel it. So love you. Do the work for you, for them. That's the best thing that you can do. And be true to you. When you are true to you, you know for real, when you need a break. If you need a break. So therefore, the people around you won't have a problem with giving that because they know you. They know you've done the work and all that other good jazz. So stay true to you. Do the work for you. And more importantly, you know, I'm a God girl. So, you know, more importantly, you know, always stick and stay close to God. Because, you know, without him, your girl be out here rough. But, love you and stick and stay with God. And I think that that's the... And talk to your kids. Be transparent. Talk to your kids. And as a girl mom, I have a boy mom. I mean, I'm a boy mom. And this last piece of advice for mothers of boys. Keep your boys around positive men. Just because you are a single mom, just because your mom or their fathers might not be involved, put them around your uncle, a brother-in-law, or someone, because as much as we love our kids and we can raise them to be amazing human beings, we really can't raise them to be amazing men, because we don't know what it is to take to be a man. That's how I feel about it. So put them around other men who you trust. Black boys, they don't have rites of passage, so they have to become grown and then find out how to become a man. And that's a disadvantage that they have off the dump, right? So we shouldn't make them grow up to find out what it's like to be a man, but have them around men that can show them the way as they're growing up.
Facts, big facts. Ms. Davis, what do you think?
First of all, you know, as far as, you know, she spoke on the ones that have people around them. If you don't have anybody, just make sure you find something that pours into you.
Yeah.
Because to be able to give your kids whatever they need, you need to be able to be poured into. So I don't know what, you know, books, writing, poetry, podcasts, music, whatever, because whatever you listen to gets into your mental and it gets into you, and you want to be careful what's pouring into you so you can have that positive and encouragement to be able to do what you need to do for your children, because every woman is not going to have somebody. You know what I'm saying?
This is so true. I would definitely say find a village. Unfortunately, some people, you know, just don't have that, their family or whatever. If you have to, find a village. Like, there are groups on Facebook. Like, because we have technology, it's so much easier than it used to be. Or go to a place where community is normally found. You can start at a church. You can start at workout groups. Like, find a clique of people that you can, you know, so you don't just, like she said, carry all that energy around the house. Find adult friends that you can vent to and lean on, and don't be ashamed. Find a safe space where you can say what's real. I remember the first time I heard another mother say what I like to call some real ass shit. And because again, when I first had kids, you weren't really allowed to say things like, I don't like being a mom, or I don't really feel like being a mom today. Or this shit is hard. You weren't really allowed to say that without looking a sort of way because you got pregnant. Remember, you had the baby. You could have not, but you did. Oh, so, Lord. And so find a safe space where you can say without being judged, this shit, mm-hmm. pardon my language, cousin, this shit is hard as fuck. Like where you can say that without, because I know you said, you know, before you and your mom kind of grew through that, there was a lot of judgment, and unfortunately that's what it was for a lot of us, you know. Yeah. They're looking at you like you made your bed, lie in it, because that's what they were given. They weren't giving you grandma this and that. Grandma didn't have a safe space to say this shit is hard. Who to great grandma who was a slave? Like, what are you talking about? Like, that wasn't there for her. The language wasn't there. The safe space wasn't there. So it's our job as the new aunties to become that safe space for this generation coming up. We're gonna try our best to give you what we may or may not have had.
Yeah, the new auntie creed, baby.
So the new, I embrace it because. I think had self-love and self-worth been passed out like it should have been to Black girls, there would be a lot less Black single mothers. And it's no shade, and I know we're just, you know, two centuries shy of slavery. So
I think there would be less depressed and sad single mothers.
You don't think there would be less? I think there would be less, because some of these men that we allowed to get us pregnant wouldn't even be able to access us if the self-love had been there like it was supposed to.
I agree, but we would still have to deal with the lack of men.
I think you're covering the speaker.
Can you hear me?
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hot.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's something I want us to hand back to the younger girls. I think a lot of the older women, I don't want to use the word bitter because I hate that word, but they were broken. There were little girls inside of them that never got the love they should have, and they were thrust into womanhood. And right. Some of them were married. Like I had great aunties who were married at 16 and 17 years old.
Right.
They didn't even get a chance to know themselves and be a woman outside of being a mother and being a wife. So what can you give me? So it's hard to pass on a tool you did not have, but right. You are still responsible. Like we, the aunties, we are still responsible for getting the tools because A, we got to give them to our kids, and B, we got to give them to this younger generation. So even if we didn't have them, we got to figure it out quick because they're getting older. Like you said, you blink and you're 35. I'm finna be 36 this year. Like what? Right. My oldest is finna be 15. I remember bringing him home from the hospital, but that's how right. time works. So time waits for no man. And I hate that our elders, some of them went on to glory, not knowing that you were more than just my big mama.
Right.
You know, you were more than just the glue that held the family together. You were a person with dreams, with ambitions. You had a beautiful soul outside of just being some nigga wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And it's so sad that there have been women who went on to glory with nothing to their identity except their children and grandchildren.
You know, I'm going to make sure that my boys know to put on my, because when you were saying that, I just thought about tombstones and graveyards, and you always see beloved mother, yes. wife, yada, yada. I'm going to make sure they put entrepreneur,
yes.
talk show host.
Courtney Lyric. Like, here lies event Courtney Lyric. Lyric. Yes.
Put all my degrees on there. I need my accolades on my ass.
Yeah, you don't have to have a scroll.
Yes. Yeah, with a long tube. Don't put nothing on.
They got enough room on them doggone headphones.
Don't
anyway.
Put nothing on my program about no strength and how I held it together.
Because I only held them together because I had to.
You hear me? Don't minimize me to that on my program and my obituary. Baby, I was an artist. I did plays. I wrote books. And yes, I was your mother, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
But I was more than that, too. I was a person before you came along.
And I
girl.
Yes. I love
you
it.
I love your mom.
I mean, hey, and even for the ones that got grown, and let's not just talk to the babies. This is for the empty nesters, too. Learn a new hobby, start you a business, go back to school. I love seeing women that are considered older doing new shit in life. It's so dope. Your life don't end with them kids.
It sure don't.
Go to all that traveling you couldn't do before. The time is now. Like, the time is now, honey. Live that life. If you didn't get the availability to have enough of a village where you could really live, then please don't stop living now and just get settled into grandmahood.
Like, I have to tell my boys on a daily, I am not your nana. You got a good nana. Your kids ain't gonna have no good nana. So they're gonna have a great nana. But I ain't my mama.
I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not in a rush. Like, when Jamil get out of high school, don't bring me no kids right away. Like, we can, let's go travel. Now that you own enough to pay for your own plane tickets, let's be out.
Listen, I'm going to be having to make a decision. Listen, am I going to be at Taco Tuesday or am I going to my grandchild game? You know Taco Tuesday is going to be more enticing than me.
So now, you don't dare me, Granny. Dang.
You got to give me some more time.
I'm going to the game, baby.
You got to go to the game for sure.
You want me to adjust my life because you want to have a kid. No, give me some more time. Don't put me in the situation to have to pee.
Right. It's called 40 and fabulous. I'm really not looking forward to grandmahood. Help it until the 50s.
But see, my mom was a grandmother at 32. Oh. So at 32... My mom was a grandmother. At 34, she was a grandmother of two. Damn. And so my mama was, you know, she embraced all things Nana. She was at home knitting and getting stuff together. She embraced all things Nana. I am not Nana. Matter of fact, my grandkids got to call me Lovely. They can't even call me Nana. They got to call me Lovely.
I can do Grandma Joe. Only for my babies, though. And I'm not in no rush to meet them. Sir, I know we don't have girls, but baby, live your life. Listen. You're going to be 21s. Now, don't do nothing stupid that you're going to regret, but these women ain't going nowhere.
At all.
Anywhere. Do you want to be a baby daddy already? No. You're not ready to be a husband yet because you don't know yourself and you ain't experienced life, so hold off on that.
And your mama is going to pick going to Taco Tuesday over going to your game, so you should not have a kid.
Oh, my God.
Don't do it to yourself because your mama can't even help you the way you need help. So you should give you and your mama some time to grow before you do that to their child.
I agree. You know, if you do find you a little woman, let us get a little bond, a little, you know, before you start breaking kids off on me. Like, wait a minute, you know, just give me a minute. Because I'm trying to be 40 and fabulous. We can't travel if you have a newborn son.
Listen.
We can't go to school if you got a baby.
And I am not convinced to the beach trip. Mm-mm.
You're right about that.
Mm-mm. Then I would have to pick about missing the beach trip or going to see my grandchild's birth. That should make me sound exciting, but I'm side-eyeing the thought of it. Nah.
Sorry to the grandchild. Your granny is not going to be there when you're born because she's going to be in the Florida Keys, okay?
So. But you're going to have some cute outfits and all the latest whatever.
Taco Tuesday. I ain't mad at it though.
I'm probably for real, but I might be joking. I don't know, so that's why he should not do it. Because I'm
just gonna be at just for the extra. You be going to Taco Tuesday.
Listen, let's go because I love a taco. Love a taco.
I'm here for it though. So to the empty nesters or about to be empty nesters, which I guess I'm kind of on the borderline unless I have another baby, which I don't know. I don't see that happening. But Have yourself a life too. Don't get so, because when he's off to college, then with you done been so consumed in being teen mom, nana mom, PTA mom. Now there's nothing. Which ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all. But once it's gone, what's left? You gotta have a life and a personality and a friend group of your own.
I agree.
I think, you know, the only thing that doesn't grow is a dead thing. And when you signaling to, you know, I don't mean to use the word the universe, but when you're signaling to the environment, when you're signaling to God that I'm done, I've done all I came to do, he gonna call you home. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason why they died so young is because they did all they had to do. Nah, I got stuff to do. I ain't been to Africa yet. I ain't been to Switzerland yet. I got stuff to do. Mm-mm. Love these boys. They my heart.
I know, right?
I haven't had one of my films, one of my scripts go to the theaters yet. I got stuff to do. So, I mean.
It's quiet in the economy, so.
Miss Dorian, what's going on? So those are some really good tips to the baby moms, and also to the empty nesters too, because I like she was saying earlier about the older ladies. I think some of that, I don't want to use the word bitterness, but some of that resentment came because they never got a life. Nobody ever told them they could have one. I'm telling you now, I don't care if you're 60, go learn you a new language. Mm-hmm. Go get you a little Spanish hottie that you can talk to and make margaritas with. Like, girl. I done raised my kids. I've done the Lord's will. It is well with my soul. All right, he gonna call you home. You better chill with all that talk. Words have power.
Now, I can say my grandmother, she travels. She travels. She travels.
Okay.
She travels.
Meanwhile, Nanny, on the other hand, had grown adult people she was taking care of until the day she passed away.
But, you know, the generations teach that, and not just like in parenting, you know, people work they self, and then they retire. And then they gone. They don't even get to enjoy their entire
retirement.
Because they worked till they didn't got. Their body has been worn down. You know, they can't really do much for themselves. And then you retire, you can't even enjoy the fruits of the labor that you already, built up there.
Yep.
You know, we taught that.
Grandma never asked for a break. The body gave it away. She was withering away before your very eyes, getting skinnier and skinnier, and nobody said anything, because, ooh, grandma's strong. Auntie strong. Love her. She holds the family together. And it was tearing her apart. And we never said, you're important enough, you are special enough, that you don't have to carry all of our burdens just because we assume you're strong enough to do it. And that's our bad, too.
And my community. My grandmother had one child. Now her mama had a lot of kids, but the crazy thing is, when I was a little girl, Big Mama, that's what we call her. Her and Big Daddy, they never stayed in the same room. I don't know why, but
oh, you know why.
They never stayed in the same room. But they stayed with each other
So, and I know we want to hold on to that, but like we were saying earlier in the conversation, when times change, when the world is changing, we cannot be the only culture stuck in our old ways. Well, we're not. There are other cultures. Let's not pretend we're the only culture, but we're talking to this.
Yep.
We don't want to be stuck in them old ways, because are they benefiting the people we are now, or that we are trying to be now? It's too many murder suicides of mamas and kids and men and wives and all that stuff to think that whatever we've been doing is working. It's not working. So, ladies, take your break. You know, ask if you have to pay for it. If there's nobody in your life that will get your kids for you, if you got the means, pay for the break. That's what I'm saying. There's so many things today that I wish would have been out when I first had kids. Instacart, for starters. Instacart, Amazon. There are nannies or there are babysitters that you can hire for a day. You can find them online. If you want to go out of town, there are sitters that you can pay for the weekend. You know, be willing to adapt and do what you need to do for you, and try not to feel selfish about it, which is something I'm working on. Like, even when I went to Jamaica,
my sons are grown and I still have mommy guilt.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Even when I went to Jamaica for my birthday, which was 3 days out of a whole year, I felt bad because I almost couldn't go because I couldn't find the people I thought would have set them to live out here said no. So then my dad has to drive almost 4 hours to watch them. So I felt bad about that. Then he gets out here and the air in our apartment goes out. So even while I'm on vacation, I'm making calls, you know, and I'm like, had I just stayed home, this, you know, but no, I'm going to celebrate me. I'm turning 35. That's a big thing for me. I made it through. I ain't never been out the country in my adult life. I'm going to do it. I didn't pay. I'm going. I worked overtime to pay for this. I'm going. But yeah, I think Miss Dorian's phone died.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're kind of coming up on, I think, like an hour and 30 minutes. Let me see. Not quite. So we'll end it at about 1:30. So are there any tips that you would like to give to any mother out there that may feel frustrated right now, like today?
Girl, get you some help. Get you some help, honey. I try to think back and see, have I ever felt like I needed a break? I don't recall. Well, I do recall, let me say this, when I first had Monte, when I first had him, because he was a very clingy baby. But I just feel like find something that pours into you. Find something that you can grasp when that baby is asleep. You know what I'm saying? And that you can do to pour into yourself just in case you don't have anybody. Because when you get sucked into that place about I need someone and nobody's available, that's going to mess with you even more.
I think, you know what I'm saying? Oof,
even more. Pick up the phone and call somebody and, you know, and let them know what's going on and communicate. But make sure it be somebody, like you said, a safe place, because everybody's not safe to speak about this topic with, you know what I'm saying? Because some people will talk down on you just for simply saying.
Well, look at the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah, you came back, girl. You're back.
Yeah. Let me your phone died on me, man.
But yeah, Ms. Davis was giving some really good tips for the mothers that might be frustrated right now. She kind of dabbled on call somebody if you have to and find something to pour into. Like you were saying, Mimi, I think I just got so used to not having the break and feeling like, I won't say that I didn't deserve one, but like I made this bed. Like I wasn't sexually assaulted. Yeah. I chose to have the kids.
I believe that was me, so it never came across my mind. Even when I see people complain about the kids being out of school, it didn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me because I ain't got to get up and take
And
what's crazy is that is the part that I enjoy the most about them being out of school is I ain't got to get up, which is still a form of a break. That's still a form of a break. Yeah. I don't have to get up early morning and drive nobody, so they can stay here if they want. They big enough now where they can microwave their own stuff.
Right.
But when they were smaller and I couldn't find a sitter, that's when it would be hard.
Right. I like that. A piece of advice that I would like to offer mothers is put your kid on a schedule.
Okay.
Put your kids on a schedule. I didn't realize how kids not being on a schedule was a thing, because that was one of the things. Well, that's how it was with my family growing up. Kids went to bed at a certain time. Adults ain't talk to kids after 9 o'clock. So even after I had kids, you know, my boys were in bed at a certain time, lights out at a certain time. So I've always been able to have, per se, my grown-up time, because my kids were on a schedule.
Yes.
So after 9 o'clock, whatever needed to be done, whatever alone time, if I wanted to take a long hot bubble bath, sip a glass of wine and listen to my old school, because that's how I like to unwind, I was able to do that because I had my kids on a schedule. But when your kids are not on a schedule, not only does that frustrate you and it makes you need that time and space, it makes everything chaotic around them. It makes their schedule, it makes it hard for them to accept direction and do things at school when they're not on the schedule at home. And Black people especially, we do not understand how important putting our kids on a schedule is. So if you can get your kid on a schedule, it's going to be annoying in the beginning. You're going to have to be the adult. You're not have to allow the kid to run you. You're going to have to just hold tight and get them on a schedule, and those schedules actually help so, so very much. And especially if you're in a relationship, definitely should, you know, because that gives you your grown-up time. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Right, we're going to have to come back for that one.
Yeah, my single mom's real deal, that helped me so, so, so much by having my boys on the schedule. After 9 o'clock, unless you're bleeding, I shouldn't hear anything. We shouldn't be talking.
Right. I agree. So that's really good. Even when I was in Shreveport, that's what I would call adult time. Like after they went to sleep and we watched our little shows together, spent time together. Now I can watch my grown-up shows. Now I can watch Love and Hip Hop or whatever I do to unwind and then go to bed. So definitely agree with the schedule. What can I say? For any mommies out there that might be frustrated right now and feel like you need a break, ask for it. Communicate. and don't care what people are gonna say, because like Mimi, like Miss Davis said, there will be judgmental a-holes who are, most of them are projecting, and some people you have to watch out for, those people that are just happy to see you struggle, because that exists. But what's more important, the wrong people getting the information or you getting the break that you need? Like, we're working on it as a community, I pray, and making it a safe space where mothers can, that where that's normal. Just like you were getting paid, you know, getting broke off. If your homegirl got a nanny, save your snarky comments. Are you mad because you couldn't afford one? I know I would be, but, you know, let's make certain stuff normal. And being like, whoo, child, I need a minute. Let's make that normal, you know, for women of color, for Black women. We are not the exception. You know, if the white women can get breaks, if the Indian women, Asian women, and, you know, Asian people, they live longer than anybody else. They're living up to 80, 90%, and probably because they have that community. I watch them while you go do this, then the third, you know. So let's also, yes, be selfish, but also be community-minded, because that's how the community grows. Because them people that never wanted to be community will be the first ones at your funeral talking about this, then the third, and I can't believe she did this, and I can't believe she's gone. I can't believe she... Sis, I asked you for breaks, and you just never would. And not that you're obligated to, but keep that in mind. And somebody tell that person, them people to sit down, if they get up. If they go to Facebook, tell my Lord, why? Get off the Facebook. Because when I asked you for a break, you were of no help. So let's try to be more community minded. Even though I am a single mother, I would get my sister kids and I live in Shreveport. I live in Texas, and I get them a week, a year. Every summer, they come out here for at least a week. And on the weekends, I would get them when I live. This is with me being a single mother. Now, was I necessarily getting that in return? No, but I have that kind of heart. I love kids and I don't mind. And I know that you're trying to do your thing. And I enjoy spending time with them, so it didn't bother me. But let's normalize that again, because as kids, that's what we had. We went to our aunt's house every summer. Our grandmas watched us after school. But I understand also that we live in a different economy. And so a lot of the aunties have to work. A lot of the grandmas work now, you know. So that would be my suggestion. If you need the break, ask for it, no matter what you think is going to make you look like, because we're trying to break that stigma of only weak women ask for help.
My bad. About to knock the camera over, child.
Well, that is our time, and I just want to thank you ladies for coming. We talked about some stuff that probably needs podcasts of its own.
Indeed.
But if you guys weren't able to catch the live, it'll be on Spotify, it'll be on YouTube, and I'll be making a few clips for TikTok. I'm sorry, I'm about to say the Thick Writer Chick.
Yeah,
the podcast is called the Thick Writer Chick. But
asking, where you at? I said, well, she got it on Friends Only on Facebook, and I don't see it on YouTube.
Oh, my bad. I'm gonna make it public. But so the YouTube and the Facebook is Courtney Lyric Presents. So that's how you will find it. But did you ladies have anything that y'all wanted to plug before you left?
No, just thank you very much for having me on. Follow me on TikTok, Doriana318, and D Ford on all other social media platforms.
Yay, yay.
Thank you so much, Courtney Lyric. I almost said your name. I heard you slipping, Tommy.
We actually are cousins, y'all, so my bad.
Yeah, first cousins. But thank you for having me, y'all. This is my first time doing this. You know, I was kind of nervous, you know. And that's crazy, because I do lives for a living. So catch me on Facebook. I do live shows. I sell accessories, $5 accessories. So if you like, you know, build your confidence, especially single moms, you know, if you on a budget or whatever, and you want to look good and look and jazz yourself up, come see me, girl. Yes. I'll take care.
We're gonna have a podcast about that, because a lot we did tell a lot of women to get out and go to Taco Tuesday, but sometimes your budget don't necessarily allow. So we are definitely gonna do a podcast about that. How to be a fashionista on a budget is a very big part of motherhood, because if you don't feel it, you're not gonna go out. Your hair.
I know that's right, because I'm
going
to press on, baby.
Right, baby. Listen, and you got. So you got to get some assessment. Go get you a cute hat or something. Transform you real quick.
Yes, baby.
Yeah, I'm a wig girl, so you know y'all can see my hair now. But the wigs are coming.
You a what?
A wig girl. Like if nothing else, I'm a plait this little fro up and put it under a wig, you know. But so we're definitely gonna have a podcast about that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. But thank y'all for joining us. For the people that watched the whole hour and 30 minutes, shout out to you. You're the real MVP.
Thank you. And you know, I'm gonna shout out Kevin. I hope I ain't ruffle no feathers with him. I was just messing around with him.
Mm-hmm. Gone now. Look at, he's still talking. Ring.
Look, I see he's like ring. He want to get on the line, girl.
This is a live for Mothers About Mothers. We will see you on Father's Day.
That's all right.
I tried, Kevin. I had your back.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us, and you all have a good evening.
All right, you too.
All right, thank you.
Bye
y'all.